Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What's cracking? Welcome back. My name is Jim Rome. We are live in the ATL. We're here for Super Bowl 53. Already had an amazing week. Great to be with you. I will be here all the way through Sunday, so more of the same as we start hour number three on this Tuesday. Coming up, Ross Tucker, Bill Ryder, but I'm going to change up on you and talk about one of my favorite topics. We are broadcasting, I should tell you, from the Quicken Loans studios, except we're not. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. One of my favorite topics. Now, we've been talking a lot of soccer on this program of late, U.S. men's national team. And now, you may or may not know this, but Atlanta is a huge, huge soccer town. We are joined by a goalkeeper for Atlanta United, also the U.S. national team's goalkeeper. He led Atlanta to the MLS Cup last season. He played 9 seasons in England, 60 caps, a member of 2 World Cup teams, and the season opener at D.C. United, March 3rd, 6 p.m. Eastern. Brad Gazan is my guest. Brad, it's a mouthful, man. That's a good intro. Good to have you on. How are you?
Appreciate you having me. Doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Very good. And I want to get into it. Atlanta is a really good soccer town. But let me go back a little bit first. You joined Atlanta in July of 2017 and was halfway through your first season in the league. You're from Illinois, but you had been in England for nearly a decade. So coming into this, what kind of expectations did you have, not only for the team, but for the fans in this area?
I knew, having conversations with Carlos Bocanegra, Darren Eales, upper management, that they were going to do things right. But of course, you never know how far it can really go until it actually happens. And to then get involved in and be here in Atlanta and see the fan base, see the reaction to the team, it was huge. And so to have that here in the United States, you couldn't ask for anything more.
Now, you play your home matches in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Super Bowl is going to be on Sunday. Initially, the thought was, in some corners, man, that's too big a swing. That is just too ambitious for a team so new to be playing in such a large venue. And then 70,000 people show up for a game, and then they do it again. When that stadium is rocking, what's that feel like as a player?
Yeah, it's electrifying. The vibe inside of it, from start to finish, it's massive for the players that are on the field. And so these guys for the Super Bowl are going to experience that from the first minute to the last minute. It should be exciting.
And it's one thing to have a massive crowd for a regular season match, but when you first stepped onto the field for the Cup Final last month and you heard the crowd that day, what did that feel like? Have you ever heard a stadium that loud before a match even started?
To have that atmosphere during the warm-ups, it was tremendous. And I think that was kind of the sign that it was going to be a great day. When you go out to warm up and you get a buzz from the first second you step on the field, that's all you can ask for as a player.
So when you look back on that final and the 2-0 win, what memories do you have? What sticks out the most from that day?
I think just the pure excitement. Not many athletes in their, whatever sport they're playing, respective sport, they get a chance to play in a final. And so to be a part of a final in your home stadium in here in Atlanta with the vibe that we've been able to create and then ultimately win it, it's like I said, that's what you play the game for.
Ken, what about the vibe in Atlanta? I mean, for instance, every time I have a coach on the show, we talk culture, and it's always about the culture within the locker room, the culture within the program. It's not just about you guys. I mean, this particular instance is about the entire city. You've got programs like soccer in the streets, station soccer fields at subway stations. How would you describe the way this town, this city, has taken to the team and the sport?
It's embraced us with open arms. And when you think of Georgia, when you think of Atlanta, when you think of the southeast of the United States, you think of SEC football, you think of American football.
Right.
And to come now, it all started with a vision from Arthur Blank. And I don't think he expected it to blow up in such a positive way the way it has. And so, when you put the proper pieces in place, you give yourself the possibility for success, and we've been able to do that.
Brad Gazan joining us. He is the goalkeeper for Atlanta United, also the U.S. national team. So then, considering what this team means to this town, what did it mean to you guys to deliver this town that cup?
It was huge. It was huge. Everyone was talking about breaking the curse and the fact that we the city of Atlanta hadn't won a title since, I think it was the Braves back in 95 or 94. So they were talking about that. And so to have grown men and women coming up to you crying, thanking you to deliver a championship. Yeah,
what's that like as a pro athlete? People are crying.
Yeah, no, exactly. It takes you by surprise for sure. But at the end of the day, that's, like I said, as a player, as a professional athlete, it's a business and you want to win. You play to win. And so to follow through and deliver a trophy on a big stage, It's fantastic.
Well, so you played domestically, then you went to England, as I mentioned. What was the experience in England like for you, both as a player and as a person?
Well, I think you talk about culture and in the sport of soccer, you know, football, as they call it over there. It's the end-all, be-all. It's what everyone looks forward to on the weekends. People work hard to be able to buy tickets to go to the games and support their teams. It means everything to them. And so to go into that environment as an American and have the opportunity to play in the best league in the world against the best players, it was a dream come true.
How were you treated as an American in that situation?
At first, you have to earn the respect, not only as a person, but also probably more importantly as a player. And you have to prove that you can play and you can hold your own and ultimately help the team be successful. And those are the types of challenges that when Americans go abroad, that they're faced with on a daily basis of constantly trying to prove to their teammates, the coaching staff, and the fans that they can cut it.
All right, so then you come back to the MLS. How different is the league right now than when you were first in the league?
Night and day. To see the league and how it's grown so much, both in the stadium in terms of atmosphere, attendance, but also the quality in terms of on the pitch, product with the players that they're attracting. Clearly, more South Americans are now looking at Major League Soccer as an idea to not only just use it as a stepping stone to Europe, but also staying here and plying their trade and really making a name for themselves.
And you always see this in every sport, too. When you win it all, you're never sure who you can keep, who's going to stay, a coach, a manager, a player. There was this thought that Joseph Martinez might be moving on. He was the league MVP last year. There was a lot of interest from international teams, but he signed an extension. First off, purely as a teammate, what was your reaction when you heard the news of the new deal?
I was so happy for him. He's such a good guy. He gives this persona that he's an angry, mean guy all the time. Off the field, he's a fantastic guy. And so for him and his family to set up shop here in Atlanta and call Atlanta home, I was over the moon for him. And obviously, on a professional level, you want someone like that scoring goals on your team.
Well, not only that, but what's to say about the team? What's to say about the town? What's to say about the opportunity that he had other opportunities? I mean, he could have very easily have gone someplace else, but chose instead to stay here. What's that tell you about this situation?
I think it speaks volumes for what going back to what you mentioned, the culture of what we've created here in Atlanta in terms of the type of soccer that we try to play on a day-in and day-out basis, but ultimately how much he's respected and loved here in this city from our fantastic fan base. And when you have that as a player, you don't need to go looking elsewhere.
Before I let you go, Brad, let me ask you about your new head coach of the U.S. national team, Greg Berhalter. He's been on the show a couple of times since he was named to that position. I know that you were not in the most recent camp because you had Champions League play starting soon. What was your reaction initially to the announcement that he got that job?
I was excited. You look at his past history in terms of the clubs he's managed and the style that they play. They have a real identity. They have an understanding of what he wants. And as a team and as a national team program of where we were to now where we're looking to go, you needed somebody to come in and really put their stamp on the team and say, listen, this is how we're going to play. This is how we want to go about our business and really take the next step as a national team. And so to have him leading the charge, I think it's going to be great for the long run.
I couldn't be more impressed with him, the way he approaches it, his discipline, his focus, his intellect. At the same time, it's a big ask, right? How can this thing come together as quickly as it needs to come together when you don't spend a lot of time together?
That's one of the tricky situations of being a national team manager, but also being a national team player. You've got guys coming from all over the world,
right,
playing at different clubs all around the world, be it fitness, be it styles of play from their club teams that they spend every day with. And that's when you need the team, the chemistry, the bond, the off-the-field relationships to really say, when we go into battle for 10 days and we've got two games that are World Cup qualifiers, that you're going to have everyone's back and there's going to be a real fighting spirit and a real attitude that says, hey, listen, when we cross the white line to go out and play, nothing's going to go against us, and we're going to be in it together.
And then finally, how important is that CONCACAF Champions League to you and to the club?
It's massive. To be an MLS club and be the first one to hopefully raise that trophy, that would be tremendous. And so obviously we start that before our league season. That's going to be our focus. Mentally, physically, it's a bit of a challenge. We know that, but we're going to be up for it.
Brad, I've not been outside yet today. What's going on out there? How's it look, man? Yeah. There's no windows in here. I have no idea what's going on.
It's all right. It's all right. Sunny, a little rain.
Sunny.
A little wet. We're good.
All right, man. You're not lying to me, right?
Nope, not at all.
I wouldn't even know. That's good.
All good. All good.
All right, he's a goalkeeper for Atlanta United, also for the U.S. national team. Brad Guzan, my guest. Brad, really nice to visit with you. Thank you very much, and great to have you on.
Appreciate for having me.
Great seeing you. Good luck with that. Had to change up on you. We're talking soccer. Get used to it. We're going to keep doing it, too. U.S. men's national team has a new head coach. And we just talked to the goalkeeper as well. Brad Kazan. Good to see you, Brad. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. Well done. All right, we are coming to you live. We are live on the row, and I'm going to be here the entire week, having a good week. See, this is what I mean about Radio Row. This is why this is so good. That is not somebody I would normally have access to in person. But if you come out here, because the sporting world, I mean, the center of the universe is right here, you're never sure who you might run into. As an example, my man Ross Tucker is coming up. We'll have that. Bill Ryder also is coming up a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. Let me check this real quick.
Hey, Alvy, should I take a telephone call? Everybody on my screen is disappearing, Alvy.
Let's try it. Just like I have no idea what's going on outside. I have no idea what's going on outside. Let's go to the phones. We go to Albuquerque. Adam in the ABQ. Hey, Adam, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Awesome.
All right. Well, first thing first, I have no sympathy for the New England Deflatria fans. None. And I was more entertained watching somebody play NFL Street on PS2 than I did listening to Mike in Indiana. So don't give them no grill. Don't do it. But first thing first, Tom Brady is going down this weekend because Marcus Peters is going to be real focused. That whole team is going to be so focused. You got 10, I counted 10 first round selections on their team, and it's ridiculous. You got Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and Ndamukong Suh. Not only that, you got the best defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald. And then you got Dante Fowler Jr. from out of nowhere, playing lights out. It's crazy. Oh man, I think Tom Brady's gonna be
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
I guess Alvin had had enough.
Not a very good call.
Actually, I guess all of us had had enough. Did he go with a Deflatriots blast? That's a sick burn right there. Why don't you tell that guy how his ass tastes? A Deflatriots burn. That is a sick burn. All right, anyway, if you want to call your shot, call your shot. If you want to pick a winner, go ahead and pick a winner. But you got to do better than Deflatriots. But you're going to call and kill a guy who won the smack off. Mike from Indianapolis, or Indiana. Anyway, when we come back, Ross Tucker, former NFLer and a radio and podcast monster, is joining us. Bill Ryder at the end of the program. We'll talk NBA then. And what can I say? I'm trying to get you involved. We are live in the ATL, site of Super Bowl 53, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Continuing from the row, I am Jim Rome. Ross Tucker joins me in about 5 seconds. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Right on mark, a former NFL player, 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. My man, Ross, what's going on? How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jim. Thanks for having me. This is I love this week every year because it's like almost like a reunion. Yeah, because you only see these
How
people
so?
Here.
Right.
Well, like all the different radio stations around here, even like you, I really only get a chance to see you guys once a year. So it's nice to say hello. I talk to you a couple times a year on the radio, so it's nice to actually see you guys in person.
That literally is the best thing about this. Not only do you have access, but you can connect in person where ordinarily you can't, so you're exactly right. That's what makes this great. Now, I want to talk about the matchup, Ross, in 1 second, but you are a legend on Twitter for your tuck spreads. Videos of grub that is available in press boxes where you are working. You're a couple of days now into our time in Atlanta. What do you make of the food so far here? And did you get down on the sausage and egg sandos with grits?
Yeah, so far so good. So there's a couple of things I like, Jim. I like variety and I like free. And so far, everything's
free is
been
me,
free.
Ross, right?
Yes, free is for me. No, this morning they had these sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit sandwiches and cheese grits. So good. I'm from the Northeast, but my grandma grew up in Woodruff, South Carolina, and the grits were delicious. So I think that's one thing that the South does really, really well is like breakfast sandwiches and grits.
All right, then. What about the Super Bowl spread? What are you expecting on the biggest day on the biggest stage?
You know, I think it's going to be an awesome game. You know, everybody hates when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl game.
I don't care about the game. I mean the spread, man, the food. What kind of food are we talking about, Ross?
You know what? That's a good question. We'll see. I would expect him to step. I like the Jim asked me the questions I really want to answer. I like it. I thought you were going back into the football.
I mean, we'll get there eventually, I guess, if we have to. But
no, you know what? Let's see. I'm also big. I'll say this, Jim. Like when you go to Lambeau, they always have brats.
Right.
You know what I mean? A couple weeks ago, I was on the sideline.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
It's a good thing. No, they have other stuff, but they always have brats also. Right. So. A couple weeks ago, I was in Kansas City. They had pulled chicken, like buffalo chicken. They had beans, burgers. But if you're Kansas City, like you kind of want some barbecue.
Right.
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 Now, I don't know if they think guys went out to dinner the night before. They're going to go to dinner that night. So you don't want to over barbecue them. But I'm big on what you're known for. Give it to us. I'm only in Kansas City once a year. Give me what you're known for. Give me what you're best at, you know?
You know, I do know. I can remember the first time that I went to Green Bay. It was back in 96 for the NFC Championship game. I had an appearance. I'd never done Lambeau, much less a Lambeau tailgate. And I want to make sure that I got all of that. So sure enough, it's 7 a.m. Here's Los Angeles-born Jim Rome in freezing weather, slamming PBRs and brats at 7 a.m. Man, it was so great. It lived up to all the hype. What are the best tailgates in the NFL right now? Now that you no longer play,
right?
I mean, you are working, but what's a really good NFL tailgate?
So I would tell you that Green Bay is pretty good.
Okay.
And what's crazy about Green Bay, and there's some other ones as well, Arrowhead, unbelievable. A couple weeks ago, those people are crazy.
Right.
I mean, it was freezing. By the end of that game, my fingertips were killing me, and they were all there hours before the game. They all put up those pop-up tents. And then they put things around it, and then they'll have the space heaters. So they were keeping the heat in. Like, they're pros in what to do
for
in
sure.
Cold weather like that.
Yeah, but what about the 3 hours of the game? You can't bring the tent inside with you.
No, but you know what? I don't feel bad for them because they're huddled with, like, 60, 70,000 other people.
Yeah, right.
I'm just
That's
the dope.
Big.
I'm just the dope standing there on the sideline by myself.
Right,
you know,
right.
If you're a player and you're inside the white lines, I feel like, as a human being, our survival instinct kicks in, and you might be, oh, I'm cold. And then you're lined up across from, like, Chris Jones, and you forget about how cold you are real quick. Like, you're much more worried about that 300-pound dude that's this far away from you. Meanwhile, if you're on the bench or you're on the sideline like I was, you're freezing. I had double gloves on, and my hands were still good. People always say, who are you rooting for? I was rooting for anything other than overtime.
Exactly.
Anything
right.
Other than overtime. Although I felt bad for those Chiefs fans, man. 49 years. I don't know about you, Jim. I almost cheer for fans now. Like, I almost want the team that has the more deserving fans to win if I don't, you know, have personal connections with players. I wanted the Chiefs to win. I wanted those people to be here and experience
this. It's really interesting you say that, Ross. As somebody who played in the NFL as long as you have, and who's got to be objective right now, who are you pulling for? I get this all the time. Hey, Rome, who do you want to win? I don't care. I really don't care. I mean this sincerely.
Right.
I do not care. I don't root for anything other than something to talk about.
Right.
That's it.
1,000%. I root for a great game.
Right.
Or, and in that case, if I'm on sideline and it's freezing, no overtime.
A short game.
Yeah, that's short. Or you know what? If it's not going to be a great game, I want it to be a blowout so that all the people leave early and the traffic's not as bad after the game. You understand, Jim? It's about me, okay?
It is about you, Ross.
It's not about the game or the people. It's about the traffic.
Me is free and it's about me. Ross, let me tell you something about you. And this is a high, high compliment. You are so good that you're so interesting. We could talk about nothing, and it's been one of the better interviews of the day. We haven't talked about anything yet, and it's almost over already. Let me talk to you about the offensive line. As a former offensive lineman, let's get into this for a minute. Tom Brady's dropped back 81 times in the last two games. He's been hit twice. He has not been sacked in the postseason. How much of that goes to the Patriots offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia?
A lot. I mean, I had 9 offensive line coaches, Jim, and Scar is the best one I had.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of reasons
for
that.
Exactly. What separates him?
Well, he was in the Marines. He is very demanding. I mean, he will yell at you. It's almost like high school, the way he yells at you. But I'll say this. You know, the individual period at practice, by far, that's when it's just you and your position coach, by far the hardest of any team I was ever on. You feel like you're going to throw up. That's why you're always in good shape, mentally tough, physically tough. I mean, I'll give you another one, okay? Most teams, when there's a special teams period, a lot of times the O-linemen get to chill during special teams. And, you know, you like that. You're like, oh, cool, we get to chill. Not in New England. You know what they do every special teams period?
Mm.
They practice screens. So that's why they're so good at screens always. You go on a side field with Brady, some running backs. And by the way, screens are just more running for the offensive line.
Right.
More running. But you work on your timing over and over again to the point where there's nobody better. And that's why they'll have three awesome screens at least against the Rams, because they always do.
Ross Tucker joining us. You know, in a piece for The Athletic, you described Tom Brady as, quote, the single most determined, self-motivated, and hyper-competitive person I've ever met in my life. I mean, it's extremely high praise given the types of people that you know and have been around. What is it about him that makes him that way? And then how does that show up? What does that look like?
Well, a couple things, right? So I've been playing football since sixth grade, 18 years. When I got to New England, I was 25 years old. I had started 25 games or whatever already. I had never been around any quarterback at any level that took the snap as seriously as Brady. Before, every time he would call the play, Jim, and they make him do everything there, he would look in my eyes and say, all right, Ross, great snap, you and me first, great snap, you and me first. And then he'd turn to the guys and call the play. I mean, I was like 26, 27. In my head, Jim, I was like, okay, Tom, okay, like, it's going to be a great
gonna
snap.
Say, I was going to say, Ross, are you inspired by that, or is that exhausting? Is
no.
He just wearing you out?
No, inspired by it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in his mind, you can have a snap almost sounds like a clap, right? So if it's an okay clap, you can kind of hear it. But, you know, when you really, your hands just come together well, that's what you want the sound to be like when you snap the ball to the top hand of the quarterback. He wanted that sound every time. Like, in his mind, a perfect snap gives him the best chance to have a perfect drop back, for the ball in his hands to be perfect, and to be able to make his read and throw it as fast as possible. Like, he...
like, no details too small.
Right. Like, I never had another quarterback. The only other time quarterbacks would say something to you is if you mess up. Like, Tuck, get your snaps up. Tuck, you were a little late on that one. Brady, he wants it to be perfect. I'll tell you that. Do we have time for another
good
story?
Yes.
Okay. So, I only hung out with him socially like three or four times, right? I was only there from December of 05 to August of 06. And I'll never forget December of 05. I had just gotten there, and the guys were asking me what Buffalo was like, and I'm complimenting Drew Bledsoe. He was very generous to us, his Christmas gifts. You know, he even, you know, every time we'd go to a local dive bar in Buffalo and get Labatt Blue or whatever, Bledsoe would pay the tab. So I'm telling this story to a couple offensive linemen, and Brady's like sitting over there, and he doesn't look like he's listening, but I think maybe he is listening, right? Then fast forward to the next training camp. It's August. Belichick gives us a day off. So we all decide, okay, we're going to go to a barbecue joint and then opening night of Talladega Nights. I'll never forget it. We go to the barbecue joint. I get up. We're about to go to the movie. I get up to go pay my tab. Next thing I know, Brady's like running over at me. Ross, I got it. I got it. I'm like, Tom, it's $13. He's like, no, I'm paying. And I look at the guy behind the register, and he looks at me like, dude, he's going to kill you. Like, let him pay your $13 tab. I was like, okay. And now, no words were ever said. I am convinced to this day, and nobody will tell me different, that he remembered what I said about Bledsoe, and there was no way he was going to let Bledsoe have that edge on him of being a more generous quarterback for his O-lineman.
Yeah, that competitive.
And maybe not. Maybe he just really wanted
maybe
to pay my tab that night.
But maybe so, though,
either
right?
Either way, the guy is a complete psycho, and I mean that as the biggest compliment ever. I mean, Jim, he's almost 42. He might win his sixth Super Bowl, and he says 0% he'll retire. Even just him saying that is a good indication of how much of a psycho he is.
Ross, I mean, I'm looking at the time frame we're talking about. You signed, as you mentioned, in December of 05.
Yeah.
Right? Just over 13 years ago. How insane is it that we're talking about a guy who's not only still playing, but playing at this level 13 years later? And how does he look to you now as compared to how he looked when you played with him?
As good as he ever has. And I would even say, I think in some ways, the last couple of years, he almost moves better than he did when he was younger. I mean, he was a guy when he was younger. We would do agility drills, Jim. And he was not good to the point where guys would almost like laugh about it, right? And he'd be like, no, I'm doing it over again. I'm doing it again. To put it in perspective, okay, the average career is like 3.5 years.
Sure.
I came in 2001, which was Tom's second year. I am very proud of my journeyman, whatever, seven-year career. Retired in 2008. It's 11 years later,
right.
And he's still playing. It's 11 years later, and the guy is still playing, and doesn't sound like he ever wants to stop. It's crazy.
Still playing, and still playing at an MVP level. Ross, what is myfrontpagestory.com?
Okay, so I just invested in this company. It's a couple of writers from back where I'm from in Pennsylvania. They will write a story, Jim, and you'll appreciate this because you love to read, about anything you want. So my sister and I got one from my mom for Mother's Day. So you talk to the reporter, 10 minutes for me, 10 minutes for my sister. They write an awesome story about my mom. They send it to you. You print it out, frame it, gave it to my mom. She bawled.
Dude.
She bawled. She was like,
I like that.
I mean, and so I'm telling guys since I've been here, Valentine's Day, instead of getting flowers or chocolate or something, you don't even have to write the story. You just, while you're driving to Chipotle or something, talk to the reporter for 8 minutes.
Do you give it to your mom or your significant other and act like you wrote it yourself?
No. It says the name of the guy
okay.
that wrote it. What you
the
say
guy's
is,
got a byline.
No. What you say is you say, honey, I just want to do something really special for you this year. I got this story written about you. Can you imagine giving your wife, I got a story written about you? And then she reads quotes where you say, I just appreciate how she takes care of the boys. You know, when I'm traveling, when I'm doing things, I don't tell her that enough. I guarantee your wife cries, and I guarantee it's the best Valentine's Day gift you ever gave her.
I love it. So how do they get more information?
MyFrontPageStory.com. It's awesome.
MyFrontPageStory.com. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, you're awesome. So good to get caught up, man, as always. And I say this not in any way to be patronizing. I am really proud of you. You are doing amazing work and really, really good things with your career.
Thank you. And you know this, but you saw it before anybody else did, and that meant a lot.
My man.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Ross Tucker is as good as you will find on the row. All right, quick timeout. If you want to react to it, go ahead and do it. You know where to find me. You've got a phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You can shoot me an email, too. Bill Ryder comes next. We're going to talk NBA. What's going to happen with Anthony Davis? Can the Lakers put together a trade? All of that is still ahead. But first, here's a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. So I got to figure out the best way to close the show. A really good Tuesday. Yesterday was the best Monday ever on Radio Row because generally things take a little bit of time to ramp up. As Mondays go, that was the best one ever. Today was a really good day, too. So how do you close the show? By running down a good pal of the show. Host of Writer's Block on CBS Sports HQ, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Host of Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And a legendary panelist from our daily show back in the day, Bill Ryder. Bill, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great now that I'm here. This is awesome.
This is awesome. So how's your week going?
You know what? You're right. It was a good Monday. It was a little busier, a little more energy this Monday around. It's good.
You got to take that. That's a good thing. Listen, let me go off the beaten path really quickly. I don't want to do this, and I don't want to be this guy, but a thing that became a topic on the show is where my senior in high school son is going to attend college.
Wow.
All right? It became a thing. It shouldn't have been a thing, but it became a thing. And it became a thing when I mentioned that he had an interest in Wisconsin. And then the Badger Mafia started to call. And then I mentioned he went to Missouri. He visited. He got in.
Oh, you got to. Oh, Mizzou.
Syracuse is a possibility.
Don't send him.
Arizona's coming
guys.
Hard. Arizona State, he's already in. So now we're on a short list. John Anderson called him yesterday. I've never met John. I've never spoken to John. He somehow knew. That part of the Mizzou family knew. And he talked to the kid for 45 minutes. I need to hear from you. If the kid is leaning towards Wisconsin, would Mizzou be a better place?
I mean, Syracuse is the fourth best broadcast school in the country, so he doesn't want that. Mizzou's number one. I'll say this about Wisconsin. If he wants to go and party and have fun, I'm from Dubuque, Iowa originally. It's fun at Madison. Mizzou's pretty fun too. Great journalism school, great Mizzou mafia. We will take care of him. It's a no contest. And it's probably -40 right now, today,
in
Madison, Wisconsin.
Right?
Yeah, no, you can't do that to your,
right,
to your
so
kid.
So what about the college experience for you? I mean, from a journalistic standpoint, obviously, the J school is unbelievable. You've done great. A lot of people have gone through there, have done great. What about the college experience?
Well, I mean, I'll say that. Let's start with what's important. I married a Mizzou girl. I outkicked my coverage. If I can go to Columbia, Missouri, and marry the woman that I did, your son will do just fine. I had a great time. My family relocated to Columbia because they loved it so much, visiting me in Columbia, Missouri.
Wow.
Mom and dad live in Columbia.
Big.
My little sister lives in Columbia.
Still.
They're there right now, hunkered down. You know, the sports could be a little better. The football could be a little better. The basketball could be a little better. Amazing university. I had a great time. Best friends of my life. Still the guys that I talk to every day. Met my freshman and sophomore year at Mizzou. Best choice I ever made to go to school there.
All right, that's strong. I appreciate that. Bill Ryder joining me here on the row. Let me talk about the news that broke. It is Super Bowl week, but the big topic of the week, of course, the report yesterday that Anthony Davis does not intend to sign an extension with the Pelicans. What was your reaction when you saw that story?
There's so many ins and outs. My first reaction was LeBron James is going to pull off the perfect collusion crime. And it won't technically be collusion because LeBron's agent, Rich Paul, is allowed to represent his client, Anthony Davis. But everybody in the NBA knows Rich Paul, before he was an agent, was a part of LeBron's entourage in a good way. They're friends. He's part of that entrepreneurial spirit. Guys like Maverick Carter who have gone out and run different parts of LeBron's empire. And they've been really good at it. They've been great at it. But when Rich Paul is pulling the strings, we all know LeBron James is pulling the strings. It is not a coincidence that the pieces are falling at a time when it tries to maximize the pressure on New Orleans to send him to one place and one place only, where LeBron James plays basketball.
All right, so what about Anthony Davis? I mean, this is a big talking point in the first half of the season. This is not a guy that is looking to make waves. We know this about this particular guy. What do you make of the way he's handled this?
Well, I think it's the way that Rich Paul and LeBron have handled it, but it wasn't the right approach. I understand what they're trying to do, Jim. They're trying to create a scenario where they look like the good guys, they're giving New Orleans time, and they're leveraging the Lakers. But it's an amateur move, and it feels like an amateur move by the people that AD has turned to. And I understand why. The Warriors broke the NBA, and now all these superstars have to cluster together. We've seen Jimmy Butler do it. We've seen Paul George do it with varying degrees of grace. So I get it. Anthony Davis, Kawhi did it. It's like, all right, it's my turn. I'm going to find my exit. I'm going to do it a little bit earlier. But when your agent goes out there and publicly says AD is going to be gone, the NBA has to investigate the actual move, the smart move, is Rich Paul calls up the guy who broke the story, Adrian Wojnarowski, and says, close source to AD says this. The fact they did it on the record, it applies maximum pressure, but it's an amateur move.
All right, so when you talk about what's going on in the NBA and the fact that Golden State did what they did, so all these other pieces are now doing what they're doing, go with that great Twitter myth. Is there any way at all this guy could end up in Golden State?
Vegas actually has them in the reasonable odds. They think that it's possible. The way that I think that happens, and it's another report that came out today, that Klay Thompson, if he doesn't get a max deal, would consider going to the Lakers, which shows you, I think there's some insight there. All is not necessarily copacetic in that Golden State locker room. You talk to people around the NBA, there's varying degrees of tension and ego. Klay's a pretty chill dude, but everybody wants to get paid and everybody wants their respect. If Klay left and Durant stayed, I don't think Durant's staying, and the Pelicans have the patience, so it's a lot of pieces. Yeah, that is an organization like the Celtics and Danny Ainge willing to be really bold if they have the room to be bold.
Bill Ryder joining us. All right, in terms of the Celtics, they could not finalize a deal until summertime. For those who do not know the story, why is that?
So basically, the particulars of the contract that Kyrie Irving has means they cannot bring in AD until July 1st. So, and Danny Ainge is by far the boldest general manager in the game. He's going to look at what happened with the Raptors. He's going to look at what happened certainly with Oklahoma City and say to himself, you give me a year and a half with AD, I will sell him on Boston, and maybe I'll win a championship even if I don't. But he can't pull that trigger because of the way the contracts are structured until July 1. So what Ainge and the Celtics need to do is basically convince the Pelicans you don't want to trade him in the Western Conference, you don't want to reward LeBron James and Rich Paul for doing this, and you're not going to get the right deal. Wait till July 1. We will come with the goods.
I mean, is that not a good argument? Why wouldn't the Pelicans, if they want to maximize leverage, why wouldn't they wait until the summer?
I think there's two ways to look at it. I mean, so New Orleans is obviously really angry. They put out a statement really quickly about how they were going to dictate terms. Not to be the grammar guy, but there were some typos in the statement, which you don't usually. They were like, you can just see, like, frantically typing the statement. You got to take a beat and you got to take a breath. And not to pick on Sam Presti more than I tend to. He's a great GM. But when he traded Harden to the Rockets, people around the NBA thought and said and told me and other folks there was a better deal. There were just some personality conflicts. It's like The Godfather. It's not personal. It's strictly business. And so the Pelicans got to take a breath and decide, and it's their own evaluation, is three of the following guys, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, certainly Kyle Kuzma, and draft picks now, bird in the hand, worth Jaylen Brown or whatever Danny Ainge and those assets can come up with. And that depends on your evaluation of those young Lakers.
Generally, when somebody says it's not personal, it's personal. In fact, it's always personal. What about Lonzo? What do you think Lonzo Ball, now that he is a part of this package, if there is a package, what do you think that he makes of his first year and a half in the NBA?
I think he hates his life, is probably passive-aggressively angry at his father, and learns a hard lesson that life isn't fair. And that's true for guys that sell insurance, that do radio, and that play at the highest level of the NBA or whatever sport it is. Playing with LeBron has its benefits if you can survive, or coaching LeBron. It's hard to survive. It's hard to stay in that orbit. He's probably going to realize a lot more quickly than most guys do that despite his talent, the world doesn't revolve around him, and he better get it together if he wants to stick in the league.
What do you make of that fit between LeBron and Lonzo? Is there a fit there?
I don't know that there is. And I'm not sure it's a personality fit. I mean, LeBron has grown a pretty thick skin over the years. The things I've said about him on this show, right? Like, LeBron and I are cool. LeBron gets it. LeBron likes the ball in his hand. He's one of the great facilitators of all time. Lonzo needs the ball in his hand to be effective. He's not a good shooter. I just think it's a bad fit on the floor. And, you know, you cop a little bit too much of an attitude. LeBron likes a LeBron James culture. He's not a big young guys kind of player. You put it all together, Lonzo Ball probably thrives away from LeBron James.
All right, so what about that report? Going back to Boston for a minute, there was an additional report that was not a preferred destination for Davis. Do you think there's anything to that?
I do. I think there's one destination and one the moment that Anthony Davis signed with Rich Paul, LeBron's guy, I texted some GMs, does this make him a Laker eventually? And every single guy wrote back either yes or probably, right? The league knows. Everybody knows. I mean, Rich Paul basically told all of us this is where he wants to go, and they want to drive the price down. But again, Jim, I think if you're Danny Ainge and you look at the fact that Kawhi Leonard didn't want to probably be in Canada, but he's there. Paul George wanted to be a Laker. He went to Oklahoma City, fell in love with it, and agreed to stay, him and Russ. You know there's a chance you can get the Paul George model and change AD's mind. A year and a half is a long time. A year's a long time. Or you get the Kawhi model, which is we're hellaciously good. We got a chance to at least come out of the East. And if he leaves, he leaves. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I think Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker today, and it's probably the direction it's going to go, but I don't think Danny Ainge in Boston cares.
All right, so, Bill, what about Kawhi Leonard? Before you go, where do you think his head is at right now? What if they do come out of the East?
Man, it is one of the big, difficult questions to answer in the NBA and the Eastern Conference, because they are, and, you know, he doesn't play. They're managing his minutes. There's a lot of do not plays, but when he plays, even when he doesn't play, his presence on that team makes them, I think, the best team in the Eastern Conference come mid-April when we're talking seven-game series in the playoffs. If they make it to the finals and he gets a taste of that away from Pop, maybe he stays in Toronto, but the fact he just bought a multi-million dollar play, it's not close to L.A. I mean, you know Southern California.
Sure.
That's a long drive. Without traffic, that's a long drive. But there's still a sense out there. People think he's going to go west, but he's an enigma. I mean, we've seen him. He's quiet. He's introverted. He keeps his close counsel. I honestly don't know. I think Toronto can make a run.
I literally have no idea what makes that guy go.
The laugh is weird.
I have no idea.
Right?
Yeah. The laugh is awesome, but I have no idea what makes that guy tick at all. What are you doing on your... That.
So
thanks,
bad.
Alvy. So good. What are you doing on your show tonight?
So we're going to be recapping on the TV show CBS Sports HQ. We're going to be recapping last night's media night. We're going to get into, I think, the greatest players to never win a Super Bowl. Brady Quinn's going to swing by. Great dude. Give us his perspective. And we're going to do a Bill Ryder NFL Honors where we maybe insult some people along with honoring some people.
Why would you do that, bro?
Because I'm mean, Jim.
Why would you do that, bro? Don't hate. Why do you got to hate?
A little sense of humor never hurt anybody.
Have I not taught you anything? Why you got to hate?
You told me the good stuff.
Why you got to be critical of people,
man? I'm
still
learning the bit.
Listen, dude, so good to see you, man. You're doing a great job. I appreciate it. Thanks for spending time. Have a great night, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
All right. He is the host of Writer's Block on CBS Sports HQ and the host of Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio. And now we are officially done. That is the Tuesday version of the program. I want to thank everybody who made that thing happen. The XR4TI here, the XR4TI back home, the local crew here, and we are right back at it again tomorrow live from the ATL site of Super Bowl 53. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing day. See you next time. We're out.